He made
it. He's here.
He made it.
Wow. Welcome, everyone. I will call the Committee on Rules to order. We will do what is our common practice, which is open public hearings for the legislators who are present to testify on particular bills. And then we will suspend those and take other testimony if it's available. This is the end days of the session, so any testimony that's taken, most of these bills have been heard before, and so any testimony needs to be very, very brief.
Madam Chair.
Senator Roebling.
As a principal, it really makes me nervous when you say suspend, and I was worried about those legislators. So I was just going to mention that.
Well,
when you
they're going to be suspended for other reasons.
At least one of them. I know that.
Okay, I'm going to start by opening a public hearing, and we'll be jumping around on the agenda. So I'm going to start by opening a public hearing on House Bill 3434. Sheree.
Madam Chair and members, House Bill 3434 extends the sunset of the Public Safety Fiscal Emergency Program for counties through January 2nd, 2024. The program is currently scheduled to sunset January 2nd, 2018, and the measure takes effect the 91st day after signee die. There are no amendments. Fiscal paperwork indicates an indeterminate impact, and the same is for the revenue impact. It is indeterminate.
Okay. Mr. Robet, would you like to join Representative Leininger up here? I think you're on the same side, I hope.
Yep.
Welcome.
Thank you, Chair Burdick and members of the committee. I'm Ann Leininger, representing House District 38, Lake Oswego, and Southwest Portland. But I grew up in Southern Oregon, and I'm keenly aware that there are parts of our state that have really had intense economic struggles, and that has manifested itself in part in the inability of some communities to provide for basic public safety functions in their communities. And so I'm proud to be here today alongside my good colleague, Senator Roebling, and also Representative Esquivel from the Rogue Valley, also in support of House Bill 3434, which builds on great work done by many of you in 2013 when you passed a bill that enables the governor, it was House Bill 3453, enabling the governor to declare a public safety fiscal emergency, and that would enable a county to enter into a cost-sharing agreement with the state to provide for very basic public safety services. What this bill does is simply extend the sunset of that bill from 2018. It's not been used, but it's a useful tool just in case. Extend the sunset of that bill from 2018 to 2024. And I believe there's some strong and broad support for the value of this as a way for us to deal with an ongoing public safety issue, and I'm happy to turn it over to my colleagues.
Chair Burdick, members of the committee, for the record, Rob Bovet, Legal Counsel Association of Oregon Counties, pretty much ditto to what you just heard. It's a good bill. It should pass. Happy to answer any questions you might have. We have a lot of materials and background posted on OLIS if you're interested, but good bill should pass.
Excellent testimony. Thank you. Questions from the committee? Senator Roebling.
Not a question, just I want to parrot what they've said before and recognize that it was a lot of work done back then. This was a difficult bill, actually, because counties don't like to acknowledge that they have a problem, but when the problem gets so big, I'm really pleased that I think it was Josephine County that passed their public safety bond this last time. It was pretty exciting to hear, and we're pleased about that. Curry has had issues at different times, and we've done things in the past to have allowed them to use some of their road money to do different kinds of things to get paid back. So we continue to try to help, but the reality is it would be really helpful if they were cutting trees and milling them in our areas, which gave us money in the past. And I will continue to talk about those kind of things because I think it's important. But the reality is these stopgap measures, since we do not have the ability in our state to declare bankruptcies, counties cannot do that, figuring out a way to make it work. And the other thing that we acknowledged, we had a long work group for a while. If a county goes to the point where it has no money and it gets absorbed by a county next to it, if you look at where these counties are, they're next to each other, and if one absorbed another one, then there would be one larger county that would be in trouble, and it would just go all the way through. The state needs to come in and help at the times when it's necessary. This bill is important, and I appreciate Representative Leininger being here to be a part of that conversation.
Thank you. Thank you both for your work on this. Actually, all three of you. Thank you. Other questions from the committee? All right. Thank you. We will close the public hearing on House Bill 3434, and with unprecedented speed, we will open a work session on House Bill 3434. And there are no amendments, Senator Ferrioli.
Madam Chair, I move House Bill 3434 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Ferrioli has moved House Bill 3434 to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Any objection? So ordered. Senator Boblin, would you like to carry this?
I would be glad to. Thank you.
Okay. Now we will open a public hearing on HCR 24.
Now it's yours.
Madam Chair and members, House Concurrent Resolution 24A permits the presiding officer in each legislative chamber to authorize by rule committees of the legislature to accept remote testimony via video conferencing. There are no amendments. There's no revenue impact and a fiscal impact of approximately $31,000 per hearing room has been indicated in the paperwork.
Okay. Welcome, Representative Smith.
Thank you, Madam Chair. David Brock Smith, House District 1. I'm pinch hitting for Representative Hack. I know you want to keep it short and sweet. This would allow, of course, especially in our rural districts, the ability to do video conference testimony. Many of my citizens, especially in the southern part of my district, have to drive over 5.5 hours and come through the California to get here. This would enable them to have their voice in the legislature. Of course, this is as dollars are available. So this does not force those dollars right away. It's a good bill. It will allow access to rural Oregon to their legislature, and it should pass.
Okay, thank you. Questions from the committee? Okay. Thank you. We have Derry Breeden.
Yes,
I do. It's only if Representative David Brocksmith wasn't able to testify.
Got it. Okay. We will close the public hearing on HCR 24 and open a work session on HCR 24, and it needs to move to the Ways and Means Committee. So did you have a script on that?
Yes, it's
okay. Senator Ferrioli.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move HCR 24A to the floor with a be adopted recommendation and with a referral to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means.
Thank you. Senator Ferrioli has moved HCR 24 to the Senate floor with a be adopted recommendation and with a subsequent referral to the Committee on Ways and Means. Is there any discussion?
Could I get credit for carrying this one so I don't have to carry the other ones?
No, the answer is no.
She asked me to make questions.
Okay. Any objection?
Did a good job.
So ordered. Okay. My apologies, Representative Wisnett. You're here on the next bill, not this one. So I will open a public hearing on House Bill 2946.
Madam Chair and members, House Bill 2946A directs the state CIO to include links to websites of certain semi-independent state agencies, public universities, statewide programs, and public corporations on the Oregon Transparency website. There are no amendments. The fiscal paperwork indicates a minimal impact, and revenue paperwork indicates no impact associated with this measure.
And I will start by apologizing to Representative Wisnett because the information I gave you earlier was on the other bill.
We're live.
You made his day. You just made his day.
So, Senator Thatcher, you can start.
Thank you, Chair Burdick and members of the committee. I am Kim Thatcher. I represent Senate District 13. And I was just going to give you a brief background on what leads us to today. In 2009, there was a bill that was very comprehensive, and it would become the transparency bill. Well, the comprehensiveness of it made it very expensive. So working with the Department of Administrative Services at the time, we were able to pare it down. And the sponsors of that bill were then Representative Roblin, myself, Representative Wisnett, and Representative Jefferson Smith. And later on, Senator Devlin also became the chief sponsor of this bill. It was pared down significantly, and we also organized what was called the Oregon Transparency Advisory Commission, and it is still in place today. But Since we weren't able to do everything in 2009, we've been adding components as we go along. And today, that's what we're doing, is introducing one of the components, because there's an organization called the U.S. PIRG Education Fund and Frontier Group. This is the public interest research group of the U.S., and they have a website called Following the Money 2016, how the 50 states rate in providing online access to government spending data, and we rank very highly, but there's still more that we can do, and that's why we're here bringing this bill.
Thank you. Welcome.
Matt, did you tell your bill was dead? Is that what you
said? I've been running around trying to. Madam Chair.
Is your heart okay? We don't want you to do a Cliff Benz on it.
He lost all the color in his face.
Madam Chair, honorable committee members, for the record, I'm Gene Wisnett, House District 53. Yeah, that was exciting. So
make sure you have the right speech, not the "I hate you" speech.
I'm gonna be short. We have this transparency website because of dedication and unbelievable hard work by DAS. If the chair has time, we're going to have the person that's the manager of that website speak. Madam Chair, we should be proud as a body that we have this high ranking. But one of the things that in my letter that I provided the chair is the one thing that we have been written up about is not addressing semi-independent agencies. And this bill changes that just by simple definition, so we can get data from the semi-independent agencies. And what we did, the amendment to the bill, just like we started, all of us started this bill, because DAS said, they had some great nerds in DAS that said, we'll make it happen. And we did. We've never been any dedicated funding to the website other than DAS FTE, but we've never spent money for this. And we're now in the top four nationally. We have a ranking of A and 96.5, but the one thing they're writing us down for is having this data. And so this simple bill, I think it's 150 words I count, will take care of that. But the amendment, instead of the agencies that are going to come under this, we're telling them they don't have to create new data, just provide us links. And these people in DAS, you're going to hear from, will do their miracle and have that on there, and we can improve that and expand it. That's what we've been slowly doing, because there's no dedicated funding for the operation of that. So my day's better, Madam Chair. I've been out trying to get meetings and go to LFO. And I haven't eaten or gone to the bathroom since. I'm going to complain to Foley that I didn't get a
bunch of bathrooms. Oh, my goodness. And in terms of our comedy in the Senate, I'm glad I did that to you and not Senator Thatcher. Are there questions for the committee? Senator
Wright. I just wanted to acknowledge the two people sitting here. When I first got introduced to this, Jefferson Smith came and asked me, because I was rules chair at the time, to work with them, and I thought, are they setting you up? He was a freshman at the time. And we all sat down and met and realized that everybody really wanted the same thing. And then we were told by leadership in both of our parties that it had no way, they weren't going to do it. Everybody else had a plan that was better. And the governor said no way as well. And dedication and consistency, and they have been there ever since. Every year we find improvements to this website. And I commend both of them, because they have really taken it on in a positive way. It is a bipartisan. It's really a Oregon bill, and it has been since its inception. And DAS, because we knew some of the people came over and worked with us, and our answer to them was, we don't have any money this session, so can you tell us whatever you can do for free? And they have done a lot of stuff for free. So I commend them and DAS for the work that's been done. And I didn't realize we'd moved up as far as we have, because when we started, we were kind of at the bottom.
Where are we down?
So thank you both for doing that.
Good work. Thank you.
Madam Chair, might add that it is bipartisan. You know, Jefferson Smith with Kim Thatcher, and when she was in the House. And one of the sponsors I just talked to, I was going to send him over to help or to convince you. One of the sponsors is Paul Hobey.
Right.
Yeah.
a good bipartisan transparency project.
Yep.
All right. Thank you. Any other questions? Thank you.
Welcome back to the living.
Paula Newsom, for very, very brief testimony.
Good afternoon, Chair Burdick and Commission. For the record, my name is Paula Newsom. I work for the Office of the State Chief Information Officer as the Oregon Transparency Program Manager. I'm here today to provide some informational testimony, and I'll be brief. Currently, the position of the Office of the State CIO in the bill is neutral. And as you've heard from Representative Winsett and Senator Thatcher, they have touched on some of the history. And so originally, in 2009, the website was launched by way of House Bill 2500. And at that time, it mainly included state agencies as defined in ORS 184-480. Before that implementation of the bill and the formation of the advisory commission, which is also part of that bill, Oregon had an average rating of around 59%, or basically a D rating back in 2010. And in 2011, after the formation of the commission and moving forward, the ranking went up considerably to an 82% or B minus. And moving forward, in 2014, 93.5 or an A minus. And then in 2016, we finally achieved a ranking of 100% or an A plus. Basically, the US PIRG, or Public Interest Research Group, recommends that public access to information on spending, contracts, subsidies, and tax expenditures be provided through state transparency websites or portals from all government entities, also independent agencies and quasi-public agencies. And basically, we're here to provide you with that additional information as part of this bill and part of the purpose. And thank you for the opportunity to speak with you today. And please let me know if you have any questions.
Thank you. Questions from the committee? Senator Roblin.
So do we know what of the semi-independent agencies are going to be added because of the bill?
There is a listing, Senator Roblin. There is a listing in the current bill that's being proposed that refers to statute, and in that statute there is a listing of those particular groups.
Okay. Other questions? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, we'll close the public hearing on 2946 and open a work session on House Bill 2946, and there are no amendments. Senator Ferrioli.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move House Bill 2946 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Ferrioli has moved House Bill 2946 to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion?
I think it would be fun to all vote no first.
Any objection? Ordered. Too late. Okay, Senator Thatcher will carry this.
We're sure transparent.
We are.
Okay.
Let's
see. Now we will open a public hearing on House Bill 2342. Sheree.
Madam Chair and members, House Bill 2342B permits the Department of Consumer Business Services to adopt rules that are not in compliance with state law governing health insurance if certain conditions are met and upon recommendation of the Health Insurance Exchange Advisory Committee. The measure declares an emergency and becomes effective on passage. There are no amendments, and paperwork indicates no fiscal or revenue impact associated with this measure.
Okay, Patrick Allen.
You can't put him under oath?
What?
Right. Madam Chair, members of the committee, Patrick Allen, Director of the Department of Consumer and Business Services. Very briefly, this is a bill that provides essentially emergency powers to the department in the event after our rate setting process is concluded for the year, there are sudden changes in federal health insurance law. It allows us to set aside insurance code requirements to be able to provide stability to the individual insurance market. It's got careful sideboards. We have to make a finding that it's an actual emergency that jeopardizes the health of Oregonians. It has to pass through the Health Insurance Marketplace Advisory Committee. There's ongoing reporting to you when we have when we have used this authority. We're limited to a single 6-month term of a temporary rule. If we enact a temporary rule under this, can't be renewed at the end of those 6 months. It has the broad support of our consumer and insurer stakeholders and passed unanimously out of the Senate Health Care Committee before coming to you. Be happy to answer any questions.
Okay, questions from the committee? No questions. Thank you.
Thank you.
We will close the hearing on House Bill 2342. You okay with that?
Sure.
Okay. Senator Farrell, and open a work session on House Bill 2342.
Madam Chair, I move House Bill 2342-B to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Farrioli has moved House Bill 2342-B to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion?
I'll carry it.
Any objection?
Should we pass it first?
So ordered. Yes, now you get to carry it, Senator Boquist.
Because I don't want
to
carry the other one.
All right. Now we will open a public hearing on House Bill 3408. Sheree.
Madam Chair and members, House Bill 3408A clarifies that a person may update or register to vote by having another person deliver their registration card to a designated agency or official, and requires the county clerk to utilize available resources to complete a voter registration that includes missing or incomplete information. There are no amendments, and there is no fiscal or revenue impact associated with this measure.
Thank you. Tabitha Pitzer.
Okay. Hi. Hello, Chair Burdick, Vice Chair Farrioli, and members of the committee. My name is Tabitha Pitzer. I'm a student at Oregon State University and a legislative intern for the Oregon Student Association. And I'm here to ask for your support of House Bill 3408. For the past 2 years, I've been engaged in voter registration efforts on my campus, registering students to vote through the Oregon Student Association's Voter Vote campaign. Voter Vote is an annual nonpartisan campaign in which students in public higher education across the state of Oregon actively reach out to students on their campus to register to them to vote, provide nonpartisan voter education, and encourage all students to turn out to vote. We are very successful in our efforts, registering over 4,000 Beavers to vote last November, because we seek to make it as easy as possible to engage in the political process. Our voter registration process is simple. We provide students with voter registration cards and then turn in the cards to our local elections office on their behalf, eliminating the need for students to take time out of their busy schedules to go submit their registration card. Sometimes we receive cards that are incomplete, and in this instance, we try to contact students to have them come into our student government office to complete them. However, we're only given 5 days to do so before we are obligated to turn them into our local elections office. It is at this point that we instill faith in the system and hope that our friends in the elections office will do all that they can to complete the card. House Bill 3408 outlines processes for elections offices to go through to ensure that they are doing all that they reasonably can to complete registration cards, including things like accessing previous voter registration information that third parties do not have access to for card completion purposes, and simply codifies the process that many of our partners and elections offices are already doing. House Bill 3408 confirms in statute that third-party entities can do the voter registration efforts that we do and ensures that we will continue to have the ability to turn in voter registration cards on behalf of registrants. It is important to note that we did make an amendment to the bill House side. The county clerks had concerns with obligations regarding record-keeping of card completion efforts, as in, like, reaching out to voters to have them complete the cards. And we worked with them to remove this requirement, and they're now neutral on the bill. Just as accessible voting is of key importance to a functioning and thriving democracy, so is accessible voter registration. Please support House Bill 3408 to make Oregon statute clear that third-party individuals and organizations can continue to engage their communities through one of our fundamental rights as citizens. Thank you.
Thank you. Questions from the committee? Senator Farioli.
Thank you, Madam Chair. How long after an elector's demise can a voter registration card be delivered to the elections officials for processing?
We are able to have the card for 5 days after we are given it to then have the elections.
So 5 days after the demise of the elector.
Sure.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Brendan, hi again.
Hey, she didn't catch that.
No, I'm
trying to play it cool. Just let me have this.
They're registering dead people?
Yeah, that's what she asked.
It's on the record that within 5 days of the elector's demise, they can be registered to vote. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Okay.
What could happen if they do it online?
They're actually not an elector at that point. I'm sure I withdraw the question.
Thank you. Thank you, Senator Farioli. That's very considerate. Other questions? Senator Roblin.
Yeah, so because we can do online registration, mm-hmm. I would have thought that university student registration deals would do that rather than going to the collecting a card and moving it and so on and forth, because that's pretty clear if you haven't filled out the right deals.
Yeah, the reason why we continue to do voter registration with physical cards is because it's a lot easier to actually get students to fill it out. It's a lot more active than telling someone to go online or to give them the link. Example, we go into classrooms and pass out cards, and then students fill them out as we give them instruction as to, like, example, like how to fill in your mailing address. And we find that that's the most successful way to register students in the thousands.
Hopefully you don't have to give that instruction.
It's for students in dorms. It's complicated.
Okay, yeah. But this
I've got six kids. It's really complicated.
It's my understanding that this is existing practice, that you're just trying to get it in the statute. Is that correct?
Yes.
Well, I thought the unions are going door to door.
All right. Other questions? We will close the public hearing on House Bill 3408.
You don't want to ask me.
We'll hold off.
Somebody else.
We'll hold off on this one for the moment.
You
want to move it?
I can move it.
Go ahead.
Like.
Go ahead and move it.
I just got to get the right
open
place.
A work session on House Bill 3408.
That needs no amendments,
no
right?
Amendments.
Madam Chair, I would move House Bill 3408 to the Senate floor with a do-pass recommendation.
Senator Beyer has moved House Bill 3408 to the Senate floor with a do-pass recommendation. Is there any discussion?
I will say, we're doing all these things already. I watch it at every fair I go to, each booth that I go to that is manned by Democrats, Republicans, Independents. They're all got cards, and they're all collecting and doing it. If it isn't legal now, I don't know what's going on, but I assume that it is. So if this clarifies that, I think that's a positive thing.
Thank you. Sure.
I just want, for the record, it pointed out that dead people cannot register to vote. It's not the intent of this legislature or these committee members to allow dead people
true.
To vote.
And I don't think dead people can do much of anything else either. So.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Senator Farioli.
It's only in the Illinois. Clear that the Republicans can't vote.
Okay, on that happy note, would you like a roll call, Senator Farioli?
Madam Chair, you may proceed without a roll call if you like.
Are there objections? So ordered.
Thanks.
Okay, now we will open a public...
Carrier.
I think the ranking member should be there.
I agree, the ranking member is the chair.
I'll take this chair. Something else.
Senator Beyer will carry. Okay.
Somebody besides me has to carry to get out. Not carrying some of these others.
Right. Yeah, that's true. I get that. Okay. Mm. Now we will open a public hearing on House Bill 3461. Sheree.
Madam Chair and members, House Bill 3461A provides the Attorney General with increased enforcement capacity over contraband cigarette sales in association with the non-participating manufacturer adjustment settlement and tobacco master settlement agreement. There are no amendments. Fiscal paperwork indicates a minimal impact as well as revenue paperwork also indicates a minimal impact.
Okay. All right. Start.
All right. Chair Burdick, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Aaron Knott. I'm the legislative director for the Attorney General at the Oregon Department of Justice here in support of House Bill 3461. This bill pertains to the Master Settlement Agreement, which is the mechanism by which we receive $120 million or more dollars biennially in tobacco payments. In exchange for that compensation, we have obligations under the terms of that agreement. Principally, and at a high level, we are obligated to ensure that those companies that signed on to the Master Settlement Agreement are not disadvantaged in their business operations vis-a-vis those who aren't. The maintenance of a robust regulatory environment is a requirement of the Master Settlement Agreement that has resulted in litigation over the years. We recently, and by recently I mean during this legislative session, which is why the bill is coming too late in the process, settled a portion of that litigation. Pursuant to that settlement, we worked out a brush-up of our Master Settlement Agreement laws that the Department of Justice believes will put us in good standing in the future to make sure that we can continue receiving this money. The good news is these are also very consumer protection-friendly initiatives, as for the most part, non-participating manufacturers are frequently overseas companies that don't necessarily comply with our expectations in terms of burn point, safety inspection, age verification, and payment of taxes, things of that nature. So sitting to my right is the head of our Civil Enforcement Division, Lisa Udland, who is our tobacco expert, who will take a very brief pass over the high points of what this does. We do have a memorandum on OLIS that goes into more detail.
Thank you. Welcome.
Good afternoon, members of the committee, Chair Burdick. My name is Lisa Udland. I'm chief counsel of our Civil Enforcement Division at Oregon Department of Justice. Aaron did a good job of giving you background, and I'll just give you some highlights of the bill. This bill is to give us additional tools to enforce our MSA obligations against companies who have not joined the MSA. Several of our largest MPMs are foreign manufacturers. They bring their product into this country through an importer, and that importer profits from the sales while adding another layer between our ability to enforce that foreign company. This bill will add importer liability, so the importers will be jointly liable and will allow us to require them to take some responsibility for the cigarettes they're bringing into our country. In addition, the bill requires non-participating manufacturers to post a bond. This is an additional source of recovery if that non-participating manufacturer goes bankrupt or otherwise defaults, and it avoids us having to look for assets in other states and other countries. Another important part of the bill is a ban on the internet sale of cigarettes. We have seen a proliferation in the sale of internet cigarettes, and many of them are not compliant with Oregon law. They're often from countries like Moldova, Israel, and Indonesia, and Russia. I will note, however, you may be able to buy Philip Morris and RJR products on the internet, but those are often, we have no evidence those are actually sold by Big Tobacco. These are other companies reselling products that were not often intended for the United States. There are hundreds of websites that do this. They're often evading taxes. You can buy a pack of cigarettes online for just over a dollar, where it would cost you $4 here in a store. And as many studies have shown, children, those under 18, are often attracted by cigarettes that are cheap. And so this is a serious problem with regard to sales for minors. While many websites will ask you to click if you're 18, we all know that minors will click through a site that says they're 18, and so we want to restrict those sales to minors. In addition, the sales often violate our fire safe cigarette rules. We have a statute in place that requires cigarettes to have particular paper that has a particular burning point, and these cigarettes often do not comply with those laws.
Wow.
In addition, the cigarettes often do not comply with requirements for reporting their ingredients to the federal government, and often fail to comply with our state laws regarding being on our directory. So how we address that is we restrict sale of cigarettes to only to licensed distributors in the state of Oregon. In other words, Oregon businesses who are complying with Oregon law will be able to sell cigarettes in Oregon. It will also require face-to-face sales so that retailers can do a minor check, and it will allow the Attorney General to investigate and take action against anyone who is not complying with the law. 10 other states have enacted and successfully enforced a similar ban on internet cigarette sales. Lastly, the legislation enhances our ability to investigate violations of our law and allows us to share data in pursuit of our enforcement efforts. Thank you.
Thank you. Welcome.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, my name is Jim Gardner. I'm appearing today for Altria. Altria supports the bill.
Excellent. Questions from the committee?
Master Tobacco Settlement.
Yeah. This is another case of big tobacco versus little tobacco.
No, this, Madam Chair.
Remember that?
This is a case of legal tobacco versus illegal tobacco.
That's right. That's the
They're
way of
very
They're
well stated.
The money in the Master Tobacco
very
settlement.
Well said. Very well stated. Some of us go back to 2003. Okay. Other questions? Thank you very much. We will close the public hearing on House Bill 3461 and open a work session on House Bill 3461. Senator Ferriol.
Madam Chair, I move House Bill 3461A to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Ferrioli has moved House Bill 3461 to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there a discussion?
Oh, Madam Chair, I just want to point out, when, in 2005, when I was in the House, a portion of this bill I sponsored. It was really intriguing because I didn't even get a public hearing and I was in the majority. The very following session, Governor Kulongoski sponsored the exact same bill and it went out 60-0. So I'm in favor of this bill. I finally get to vote on it.
That is excellent. That is excellent. Okay. Further discussion? Objections? So ordered.
I think, Madam Chair, you have a carrier.
I would say you must have a carrier.
I think it's an overdue carry, it sounds like. Okay, now we will open a public hearing on House Bill 3253. I'm sorry, we're open a work session on House Bill 3253, having already had a hearing on House Bill 3253. And I'm told that there is consensus on the Dash 11 amendment to this bill, and so we are going to proceed. So, Senator Ferrioli, do you have a motion?
Madam Chair, I move House Bill 3253A as amended to the floor.
You need an amendment.
Oh, I need the amendment.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, pages are stuck together here, Madam Chair. Oh, Madam Chair, I move the Dash A10 amendment.
No, 11.
Oh, you want to change that? No. I move the Dash A11 amendment, Madam Chair.
For the old pros, we don't do well with scripts. Senator Ferrioli has moved the Dash 11 amendment to House Bill 3253. Is there any discussion?
And Madam Chair, if you think we don't do well with scripts, you should see us work without them.
Senator Roblin.
I just want to say thank you for the good hearing we had before and the information that came out and the amendments that you had drafted. So thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Is there any objection to the amendment? So ordered. Senator Ferrioli.
Madam Chair, I move House Bill 3253A as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Ferrioli has moved House Bill 3253 as amended to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Mm-hmm. Any objection? So ordered. Who's the sponsor on this?
No, I don't have it. Mm-hmm. It's on there somewhere, but I don't
know. Would you like to carry this, Senator Ferrioli?
Madam Chair, at your pleasure.
Okay. Senator Ferrioli will carry this. Okay. Now we will open a work session on House Bill 2750. Cherie.
Madam Chair and members, House Bill 2750B modifies requirements related to interstate bridges operated by local governments. The D7 amendment permits the Port of Hood River to enter into a P3 agreement for a bridge project and set forth criteria for such an agreement. The fiscal paperwork indicates paperwork indicates a fiscal impact and a positive revenue impact.
Okay. Let's see. We have a Dash B7 amendment. So, Senator Ferrioli.
Madam Chair, I move to adopt the Dash B7 amendments to House Bill 2750 dated 6/9/17.
Okay. Senator Farioli has moved the -B7 amendment to House Bill 2750. Is there any discussion?
Mm-mm.
Any objection? So ordered. Senator Farioli.
Madam Chair, I move Senate Bill 2750B as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Farioli has moved House Bill 2750 to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Any objection? So ordered. Senator Thompson will carry this.
For the transportation package.
Okay, now we will open. We don't have the paperwork on the DA yet. We will open a work session on the House Bill 3454. We have the paperwork on there, right? Okay. Senator Farioli, we have a -A2 amendment.
Madam Chair, I move to adopt the -A2 amendment to House Bill 3454, dated 6/21/17.
Senator Farioli has moved the -A2 amendment on House Bill 3454. Is there any discussion? Objection? So ordered. Senator Farioli.
Madam Chair, I move House Bill 3454-A amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Farioli has moved the -A2 amendment to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Any objection? So ordered. I will sign up as a carrier for the moment until we figure out if someone else wants to do it. Okay? All right. Okay. We're waiting on paperwork for 2308, so we will open a work session now on House Bill 2004.
Madam Chair and members, House Bill 2004B makes various changes regarding tenancy occupation terminations and landlord notice requirements, including prohibiting a landlord from increasing rent more than once within a 12-month period and requiring fixed-month tenancies to be at least 6 months in duration. The B-21 amendments to House Bill 2004B make various changes to the underlying bill, including extending the probationary month-to-month tenancy period to 12 months and reducing the amount of damages for landlord cause evictions from 3 months rent and damages to 2 months rent or two times actual damages, whichever is greater. Lastly, the amendment removes the emergency clause and specifies the measure takes effect 91 days after signee die. There is no revenue impact associated with the B-21 amendments, and there is a minimal fiscal impact associated with the B-21 amendment.
Thank you. In committee, the -21 amendments are the have been the source of great negotiation between the housing advocates and the Oregon Association of Realtors. I want to express my appreciation for both sides. Realtors in particular were not able to get there to a position of support for the bill, but many of their comments were put into the bill. I feel it made a well-balanced product, and that is reflected in the -21 amendments, and they have submitted an email reflecting that and reflecting their remaining concerns that will be entered as part of the record. So this bill will be on hold for a little bit, but we need to move it on. Given the lateness of the day, we need to move it out of our committee. And if people on the committee have questions, there are people in the audience who are prepared to answer. So is Senator Beyer, if you would move the -21
amendments. Madam Chair, I'd move the -21 amendments.
Senator Beyer has moved the -21 amendment to House Bill 2004. Is there a discussion? Is there objection? So ordered. Senator Beyer.
Madam Chair, I move House Bill 2004B as amended by the -21s to the floor with the due pass.
Senator Beyer has moved House Bill 2004 as amended to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there discussion?
Discussion, Madam Chair.
Yes, please.
The -14s and -16s were posted to OLIS and then apparently were taken down. So we're apparently not going to be considering any of the other amendments.
Correct.
Okay. We will not be, I will be voting no, but I am not serving notice of the intention to do a minority report.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
I could do that, but I'm not going to.
That's true.
But I am going to vote no.
Isn't this a great committee, really, seriously? Okay. Would you please call the roll on the Dash 21 amendments? I mean, on the passage of the bill.
Senator Byer?
Yes.
Senator Boquist?
No, thank you.
Senator Roblin?
Aye.
Vice Chair Grayle?
God, no.
Aye. Order. Thank you. Okay, we don't have paperwork on the Dash B8 amendment for House Bill 2308, so I would like to adopt that amendment anyway and suspend the rules to get the bill on the move. So...
Are we in work session, Madam Chair?
We will open a work session on House Bill 2308.
Madam Chair, I move that we adopt the B8 amendment, dated 6/20, to House Bill 2308.
Thank you. Senator Farioli has moved the Dash B8 amendment to House Bill 2308. Is there any discussion?
These are Representative Barker's amendments, right?
These are the take it all out.
Barker's.
Yes. Okay. Yes.
Put it back to Barker's.
Yeah. These are, yes. Other discussion? Any objections? So ordered. Senator Farrell.
Madam Chair, I move that the rules be suspended for the second time this session in this committee so that final action can be taken on House Bill 2308 without the fiscal and revenue impact statements.
Senator Farioli has moved to suspend the rules for the purpose of taking final action on House Bill 2308 without the fiscal and or revenue impact statements. No discussion is allowed on the motion. Ha, ha, ha. Is there objection?
I'm fine.
So ordered.
No, that's not a debatable motion.
Well, it wasn't ruled by the other debatable places. Motion.
Okay. All right, Madam Chair. Apparently, I move the House Bill 2308 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Farioli has moved House Bill 2308 as amended to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Any objection? So ordered. Senator Krasanski will carry this bill.
Is this legal?
You just shot down his amendment.
After we take away his amendment, that's
good. Just for the record, this is the first I knew that a motion to suspend was not debatable, so you learn something new every day. Okay.
He's not familiar with rules.
That, I believe, Cherie, completes our work for the day. Thank you, everyone. Stay tuned to this committee because we are on 1 hour notice. So with that, we are adjourned.
I may owe.
Notice. So with that, we are adjourned.
I may owe.